Hey, friends. There's a few dates in particular coming up, which I'd like to see as many 12 and a half as possible in the next few months. March 15th and 16th, I'll be headlining Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. April 5th, I'll be at the Last Best Comedy Club in Bozeman, Montana. I'd love it if we could get some 12 and a half in the crowd for those particular dates. And the first week of May, I'll be at the MGM in Las Vegas. Be fun to party with you there. TJ will be in Syracuse February 16th and 17th. Raleigh, North Carolina, the Improv, March 8th and 9th. And if you want more details about his dates, go to tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. And enjoy the show. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Answering the questions you don't have. Deep conversations in the shallow end. Two men with lots of ideas and less than an hour. Intelligent-ish. This is Cashing In with TJ Miller.
Scat. Hey, it's TJ Miller. You know, I'm actually borrowed all the equipment that Cash, listen to me, I'm so nervous, that Pod uses to Cash cast. It's not true. It's the other way around, but you know, so basically, I'm going to surprise Cash because he's been holed up in my home actually doing my taxes for me. A lot of you guys don't know this, but Cash is a CPA. You know, it stands for Certified Public Accountant, but in this case, it's Cash Public Accountant because he's not certified in any way, shape, or form. And so I thought to thank him for doing my taxes, which, you know, is very difficult. I have income in over 40 different countries, most of them in West Africa. I would come in and maybe spring a podcast on him and be a guest because I know, at least he told me this week, he sent me an email that said, TJ, I'm at the end of my line. My penis couldn't be more deformed and grotesque. And also I'm having trouble getting a guest this week. So I decided I'm going to come in, I'm going to make it happen, and just all as a thank you, you know? All right. So, here we go. I'm just going to knock on the door because, it is my home. I have a key, but I am also polite talking to you, Deborah, across the street. If you're listening, don't just come over. Start rooting around for sugar.
Come in.
Hey, Cash, it's me. I like to make a creaking noise when I open doors.
Oh, TJ, it's so good to see you, man. There's some things we got to talk about with your taxes.
Oh, no. Oh, well, listen, do you mind? I'm recording this.
Oh.
I thought I would just spring a podcast on you.
Oh, I'd love to.
Or as I called it earlier, a cash cast.
You know what? I don't know if you heard, but I had problems getting a guest this week. So that's awesome.
I did. I'd you really sent me that email kind of that was a little TMI.
Yeah.
A little too much.
Yeah.
IRS.
Yeah, too much IRS information. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. You know, I don't know. We'll probably have to cut this part out later because I want to talk to you about your finances.
You know what? I got nothing to hide. I'm an open book, and I've told the IRS that. I've told the FBI that. Well, I told PETA that.
All right, buddy, because I'll tell you the situation. We had to file an extension.
Okay.
As you know, because it's a week after taxes were due.
At this point, I'm late.
Because I've been working on this for about 2.5 months now, and
I'm sweating like a preacher's daughter.
Let me just break it down for you. The good news is, my friend, you made a ton of money last year.
That's so exciting.
You seem to be doing really well in the industry. People seem to really like your comedy stylings.
Thank you.
As it were.
Thanks.
The bad news is you lost about $2 or $3 million last year. Because you had a lot of expenses. Yeah.
How much did I make that much money to be able to lose it?
You lost a lot of money. Okay. I mean, let's just look at some of your expenses. You spent $30,000 on McFlurries, applesauce, and tilapia.
I got a sweet tooth that includes fish. I mean, I think you could write off the McFlurries. Is that not a...
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently you started ordering from Peru the McFlurries.
Oh yeah, because they're great. The Toblerone McFlurry and the tilapia McFlurry. Sure.
Just that was very pricey.
Well, I was always afraid if they flew it in that it would melt on the way over. Yeah. So I paid a mule, a McFlurry mule, to. I paid a McFlurry mule.
And you had refrigerated McFlurry trucks coming over the borders.
Yeah.
And I say borders because Peru is not that close.
Oh, no. I mean, you have to go through several. But I wanted it all driven. I wanted it on ice.
Yeah.
And I wanted it now. You know, I wanted a McFlurry a day.
All right. Well, I mean, that's a lot to spend on food. You also had three of the Chipotle parking lots expanded. The three that you like to go to.
Yeah, because we got a party.
Los Angeles area.
Yeah.
So that was kind of surprising. That cost over $300,000. So I'm just telling you some of your expenses. You spent over $100,000 on this podcast, and I was unaware of that. It was all for the tasty naan you were eating during the shows.
I got to tell you, I have been a naan fan since I was non-existent.
You lost $15,000 on Pemberton Buttlesticks campaign buttons.
I believe in him.
Yeah, well.
And I believe in the
in
cause.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, in yourself. $150,000 on hair care products. There was another $30,000 on your attorney for the Mackey Sasser defense trial.
The Mackey Fasser Sasser trial?
Sasser
Hasser. Yeah, well, I had to keep somebody in retainer.
I kind of feel bad about that one. Yeah. You know. Here's the one I feel worst about. Your clone spent over $3 million and charged it to your account.
My clone did?
Clone, and I feel partially responsible because I'm the one that broke him out of his chamber that one day and interviewed him.
Damn it!
Yeah, he was a great interview. Put that on my tab.
So what did he do? He expensed $2 million of what?
I'm not sure what he spent the money on. I think in the future, I'm going to talk to him about this in future episodes.
Yeah.
When you're not available, because he has a great interview. In fact, sometimes I prefer talking to your clone than to you.
Look, I don't give a good goddamn who you prefer talking to. My clone is a thief and a robber, and those are the same thing.
You spent $500,000 on ear extensions. I thought that was money well spent.
That's what I think. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to get him down to waist level. Keep going.
Well, the last one, I
get those lobes.
I didn't
down
even
to the
hear
waist.
About this, but I don't know if you've forgotten. But you owe NASA a nice little chunk of change. You got a DUI on the space rover.
And
you also broke two of the lunar tethers while you were space jacking.
Well, when I space jack, I jack to the moon. But I got to say,
they don't know that.
I didn't
NASA
even know that it was
really...
NASA. I thought it was NASA.
Yeah.
Which is in the Bermuda, right?
Yeah,
it's in
that's
the Bahamas.
A whole different thing. Yeah.
So
you were space jacking with a tether, and apparently you snapped two tethers, and those are expensive.
Good thing a third one was on, or no one could hear you climax in space.
Yahtzee! I Well, Cash,
thank you for doing
that. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
This is your show.
Is
I just wanted to spring it on you.
Okay. Well, do you think we could still start the podcast with the
triple banger lightning round? Question one.
Okay, here we go.
And we're not going to have the music today because we're at your house, which is understandable. You don't just carry the music with you.
No.
So we'll have to, you know, sing the different segments. Triple banger lightning round. Question one. Cult leaders, just dudes who couldn't play guitar and still wanted groupies?
Yeah, I mean, I think a cult leader is usually a guy who is charismatic enough and intelligent enough to, you know, probably have gotten a real job and done well, but he would rather sort of influence people and have, I mean, isn't that what a groupie is? It's just sort of, you know, part of the cult of your music. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll do anything for you. You know, comedians don't really have groupies though.
We do, though.
They have mega fans. Groupies, though, people that follow us from city to city, want to hang out every time afterwards. That doesn't happen, but people will follow. I mean, New Kids on the Block has got some sweet-looking middle-aged women.
That when you see, you know, footage of, like, people screaming when they see the Beatles, you know, women screaming and pulling their hair. Mm-hmm. We don't get
pulling
that.
Pulling one another's hair.
Yeah, pulling one another's hair follicles from their head region. Mm-hmm. You don't see that as a comedian. When you show up at a club, people aren't often standing outside screaming, no matter how famous you get.
I mean, you know, sometimes...
You don't elicit that response.
Sometimes they'll be like, But that's it. There's no screaming. No one's feigning when they see a comedian. Yeah.
Once in a while now, as I go on stage, I get the, do shy.
I like that. And is it always you that does it?
It's usually me, yeah. I throw my voice to make it seem like others are doing it, but really it's often.
That's why you study the art of ventriloquism.
Yeah, yeah. But I do think that, do you think people like start to try to be a cult leader? Like, is that a goal or do they just become one?
I mean, I think that, I don't know. I think you got to at some point decide I'm going to lead a cult. You can't sort of just accidentally, you're like, I'm just trying to make a lot of friends that also will kill people for me and have mass orgies in the back before drinking lice poisonous Kool-Aid.
Triple banger lightning round. Question number two. Appliance violence, underrated?
And you mean just beating the shit out of your toaster when it just gives you the soggiest non?
Yeah, because before I came over here to do your taxes, I attacked my printer, and it actually fixed it. I threw it.
So it's almost...
So it's not even possible.
Right, it's not even necessarily that it's, you know, underrated, it's just underused.
Underutilized.
Underutilized appliance violence.
Yeah.
I think it should be used more because I like the phrase so much, appliance violence.
Appliance violence.
You know, you could say that to somebody. You'd be like, hey, don't make me appliance violence. And they go, what? And you go, apply some violence to your face.
It would be a great a phrase unless you marry someone named Appliance.
I sat on a fax machine.
If you married someone named Appliance, then people might misconstrue.
It's a domestic violence. Yeah. It would be appliance violence.
You say, no, I attacked my toaster. It really wasn't my wife, Appliance. And you're the sort that could marry someone named Appliance. You've had a lot of different names of people you've cohabitated with, people like Pipitha.
Pipitha's just...
Cheryl.
I don't talk about her. Well, right now I'm dating someone named Sherbel, and I got to... I don't sit here and make fun of... What's your wife's name? Debbie? One of those fucking Debbies? God, all those Debbies. And I'm sorry to the Debbies listening, but a lot of these Debbies are just pigs. I'd marry someone named Appliance. You know, Cherbel wouldn't be happy about it. But I think, you know, what I was going to say is I sat on a fax machine for 2.5 months. It was part of a protest against the misuse of trees to make wooden fax machines. A lot of people thought it was about the paper being used. It wasn't. I just don't think they should be cutting down trees to make these wooden fax machines. And so, you know, I sat on one, and I don't know if that's violence, but it definitely, it felt good to sort of have the upper hand with technology.
Yeah.
But sort of say, fax machine, you can frustrate me, but I'm also sitting on you. Mm-hmm. You're under me.
Yeah.
And I didn't get up to go to the bathroom, if you know what I mean.
I do. I'm starting to picture that.
Yeah. Let me put it this way. A couple of people at a law firm in Chicago got a fax that was basically just me taking a whoops on their hibbles. Does that make sense?
Only to people of this show with taking a whoops on their wibbles. Is that, yeah, taking yeah. whoops on their wibbles. I think people that have listened to this show, any of the 12 and a half, they can picture that.
It's
if
just
you're a first time listener, yeah, you're probably not used to that kind of lingo.
It's defecating on the anxieties that people have about technology. Mm-hmm. That's taking a whoops on your wibbles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Triple banger.
Lightning round. Question number three.
Can you sleep your way to the bottom?
Can you sleep your way to the bottom? Yeah, I think so. I think, though, more often than not, it starts out as trying to sleep your way to the top.
Mm-hmm. You just choose the wrong people.
But are you also talking about sort of being at the top and then sleeping your way down the bottom? If that's the case, then, you know, yeah, I think you can. I mean, if you sleep with the wrong people enough and they affect you adversely enough, yeah. I mean, I slept my way to the lower first third.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even quite make it to the halfway point. I just fucked my way right up to that 30% line and then quit.
Yeah. You can sleep your way to the middle, too.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. I wish more people said I slept my way to the top and then kind of went on beyond that. I slept my way over the top.
Mm.
I yeah, slept.
The descent.
I slept way
my way
over
to the
top.
The descent.
Yeah, exactly.
I went over the top. I kept sleeping my way back to the bottom.
Yeah, I slept.
So maybe it's often but someone who the slept their way to the top and didn't
different.
Know when to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you already slept your way to the top, you need to know when to
stop sleeping with people,
yeah,
right.
Stop sleeping with people. Because it's only going down after that.
Yeah. And I've known a couple of people that have slept their way to the top and then just blown their way out of the fucking city.
Mm-hmm.
They've just blown themselves, you know, to Mexico or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be it, too. If you're sleeping with people, you get to the top, don't start just blowing your way out of the country.
I'm going to do a triple banger
auxiliary round. Lightning style.
Lightning style.
Style round. Would you rather date a girl with a snaggletooth, front butt, ever-present camel toe, or a moose knuckle?
Isn't a camel toe and a moose knuckle the same thing?
They're not. I was curious about that because I was talking to my friend. I go, what is it when you have you could see the penis through the pants and that kind of thing? He's like, that's called a moose knuckle. And I think it should be called an elephant trunk.
I don't think so. Moose knuckle certainly sounds
pretty
funny. It has to be an elephant, you know, elephant cartilage or something mm-hmm. like that. That's what I get a lot, you know. I get a elephant cartilage up front, you know. If I'm wearing certain satin pants,
yeah.
What I'll do is I'll get a...
You wear satin pants a lot, too.
I wear satin pants a lot. And I'll
there
get
are nights where you're completely in white satin.
Yeah, that's exactly
just
right.
To try to
those
honor
are my
the song.
White satin Saturdays.
Yeah.
And up front, you'll kind of see it. I'll get a marmot elbow. Or I'll get a caribou cock, which is that's just straight up, you know, you have the penis of a
caribou
sort of sticking
cock.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a marmot knuckle, you can get that too. That's a much smaller moose knuckle.
A marmot knuckle. So mm-hmm. that's sort of the shape that it makes if you're actually not as well endowed, the marmot knuckle.
Yeah. Also, brown bear tendons,
mm-hmm.
you know? I'll get that sometimes. And then not a lot of times, but I've gotten parrot ligaments. And a parrot ligament is just, it looks like a stretchy, thin, you know, ligament is in the front of your pants. And then whenever anybody gets close, it goes,
help
me. Yeah.
Sometimes I'll get a lawyer with a parrot on its shoulder.
Oh, yeah. You can't trust that.
Yeah. And you can't trust it when that happens. I don't even go out in public when I have a lawyer with a parrot.
If your lawyer will wear a parrot in public, your closet's too big. I talked about the closet stuff on stage a little while ago.
Did you really?
Yeah. Thank you to all the people that came out in Appleton. That was such a fun show. And unfortunately, I have to cancel. I was going to do a tour in May. And also, I was going to do a date in Kansas City. And I have to cancel those, push them back to an unspecified thing because I'm doing a couple movies, which is really exciting. But I tried some of the closet stuff on stage, and I want to take this moment to thank all of the 12 and a half that came out to the shows in Appleton, and you had great shows in Scottsdale, right?
Yeah, we had fun. In fact, let's move it along to Where Were You? I was in Scottsdale. You were in Appleton, Wisconsin. By the way, we also are not going to be able to do the live show, just to let people know right now.
We can't do that now. We had to cancel really that. Really frustrating. We'll do another one, though.
Yeah. TJ's going to be gone for a while.
3 months.
And, I'm just going to have to stockpile some really good guests. And, but it, you know, congratulations on all the good stuff that's been
happening. I'm really, really excited. You know, I'm doing a couple different movies. I'm doing Baconator 3, which is really exciting. A lot of people haven't seen Baconator 1 or 2. It's because they don't exist. They went straight to 3. They want it to be a franchise. So I'm pretty excited about that. I was going to do a film called Apocalypse Cow. Didn't happen. It was sort of a pro-vegetarian, end-of-the-world, cows or zombies, and they, you know, attack different looking people. And then, but I am doing a Mr. Potato, Revenge of the Fallen. So I'm so excited about
that's a good one.
It's a Hasbro production.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not playing Mr. Potato Head. Obviously, I'm playing one of his ears, the smaller of the two. Typecasting! Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I'm fine with it, and I'm excited about it. And I'm just excited to meet and work with Mr. Potato Head.
Well, there's a lot
hopefully we'll get on a first-name basis. Do you know what Mr. Potato Head's first name is?
I don't.
Spud. Actually, is Spud Potato.
That's ironic because I'm doing a musical while you're away called Spudzerific.
Spudzerific.
Yeah, so there's a lot of potato type, you know, different productions.
Yeah, there's a lot of starch material in the entertainment landscape right now. And I know you're laughing, but that's really true.
Well, especially because people are cutting back on starch in their diet, and yet they want it in their entertainment.
I think Doug Benson is doing a film called Twice Baked Potato. And it's sort of him getting really, really high, eating a potato, and then getting even more high and eating the same potato again.
Yeah.
It's incredibly confusing. It's actually, you'd think it would be a short film. It's not. It's a feature.
I was in Scottsdale, and I met so many nice people. I'll tell you what my favorite thing about this podcast is right now. You get off stage, a bunch of people come up to you after the show and say, oh, I enjoyed the show. That was good. And then some of them are, you know, crowd members often say the wrong thing. You know, they might annoy you by talking, saying, you should have done this joke, or, you know, like, often it's where they'll approach you and say something racist, or they'll make fun of your...
Oh, I have a great story about this.
Yeah, they'll make fun of your baldness, which I think we kind of over right now.
Yeah, right.
Like your size, you were much smaller on stage. They'll say something stupid, and then they'll say something nice, and then they'll leave, and then invariably, the whole weekend, someone would come up, and I'd start to have a really nice conversation with them, and really genuinely like them and think they were pretty cool. And they'd sort of turn to me and go, I'm one of the 12 and a half.
Yeah,
and it was like we're in a little club now, which like only we understand. And it felt really good.
That does feel
I went
good.
Out with some crowd members Saturday night that I don't usually go out with the crowd after the show, but they were so cool and they were so fun to hang out with. One of them was a mail carrier, and she listens while she's delivering her mail.
So she would take, you know, male gender people, and she delivers them to houses or to
male gender, and then they have sex changes if they want.
Yeah,
no, she's a real mail carrier. In fact, she told me, by the way, postcards, they get read by the mail carriers. She loves loves the ones that are written from prison.
Wow,
yeah, she was telling me that.
Yeah, who is writing a postcard from prison? Because there's no way on the outside it's gonna say "Wish you were here."
Yeah, no. Apparently, it's really dramatic. Like, sorry, I messed up, and you know, I'll be out soon.
Well, I had somebody come up to me in Appleton, this really nice guy. He was a chef at the Hilton Garden Inn, and it was very fun. I mean, he made me a great omelet later on after the story's over. But this is one of those classic moments that you're talking about. Yeah. So he comes up to me, and he says, hey, buddy, I saw you yesterday. I was like, oh, all right, at the show? And he's like, no, just in the lobby. And I was like, I think that's somebody.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. Okay, cool. Yeah. He's like, and then I looked again. I was like, yeah, I really think that's somebody. And I was like, all right, well, good. All right, thank you. And he, you know, what do you say? Thank you. And then he said, and then I looked a third time, and I was like, yep, that's definitely somebody. So a lot of people here don't know who you are, but I do. And I was like, okay. And I wanted to say, like, who am I? Because I know that he didn't know.
Yeah.
He just knew. I don't even know what the concept you're a somebody is.
Right.
Because he's a somebody, too. He's somebody important to me that I'm talking about now. And, you know, we started talking and he said, you know, I said, you should come and see one of these shows. And he goes, you know, I would love to. What time are they? I said, 8 and 10 on Friday, 8 and 10 on Saturday. He said, that's great. And we talked a little bit more. And they said, so when are these shows? When are you doing the shows? I said, well, 8 and 10 on Saturday. And then, like I said, 8 and 10 on Friday also. He goes, great, great, great. And he's kind of talking to me a little bit more. And then I go, so anyway, you know, come by the show if you want. He's like, great. Yeah, when are those? When are those shows? I was like, they're this weekend, you know, at 8 and 10 Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I'm going to be out of town this weekend, so I can't come, which I just looked at him. I mean, my eyes dropped down below my jaw. Like, I just couldn't believe that he had sort of continually said, what time, and then over and over, and then, you know, and then
he's gone for the weekend.
Look, I'm gone. I can't make this stuff. And he says, but you know what? I'm kind of a comedian. And I think it's about time that I get on stage in front of a real audience. He said, because I've been writing material for years, you know, which is always so funny because everybody believes that they have a good sense of humor, first of all. And then on top of that, a lot of people think that they could be comedians if they just would do it. They just don't have the time or they, you know, they don't have the inclination. So, you know, I took the bait a little bit and I was like, oh, that's great. Well, you know, if you want to, you should go to, you know, you should go to an open mic. That's the best advice. Just go and do it tomorrow if you can. And I said, you know, I bet the Skyline Comedy Cafe has an open mic. And he said, sounds like, I mean, they'll let anybody up there, right? And I was like, I mean, that's why I'm playing the club. Sure, yeah.
Sure.
And then he says, hey, you want to hear my worst joke I ever wrote? And, you know, it's so hard then to say no and then walk away.
I'd prefer to start with the A-list material.
Yeah, I think most comedians do. It's not like, hey, buddy, get ready for this.
Can we dial back this conversation to when you thought I was somebody?
Yeah, because
you've put me down sort of inadvertently 3 to 6 times
Before has somebody said, I had to check 3 times to see if you were somebody and then made me feel like a nobody. Hit it! Sorry, I usually have a drummer upstairs. Jake! Okay. Oh, yeah, sleep away, buddy.
Jesus. Actually, I had to fire him because of the tax situation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I made some changes.
Right I was doing. I was paying him about $10,000 a month. I don't know what I was thinking.
And I drank a couple of your McFlurries, too.
God damn it. Those are special liquid ones that are drinkable.
I know.
All right, so he says to me, do you want to hear the word? So I say, what can you say? I say, sure, yeah. I'd love to hear the worst joke that you ever wrote. He comes around from the front desk. He says, I'll walk you to the elevator, which I've never had somebody say that. Have you ever had somebody say, I'll walk you to the elevator? Because you don't need I almost want to say, like, let's just do it right here. I've made it. I actually was just on the elevator.
I was already. What are you, the elevator valet?
Yeah, of course.
Like, then, I made it this far.
Of course, then the way to the elevator, I got jumped. They beat the shit out of me, took my wallet, gave it back to me with more money in it. That was weird. So then he says to me, he says, look, buddy, promise me you won't tell anybody this.
What, the bad joke?
Yeah, and I go, okay. Yeah. And I go, now, this is a joke that you wrote. Is that right? And he said, yeah.
This is an original. What was his name?
Yeah.
I'd like to call him Roadhouse.
Let's call him Roadhouse.
Okay?
So I said, is this a Roadhouse original? And Roadhouse.
That's who I'm picturing right now.
Yeah,
Roadhouse. From Roadhouse?
Yeah. And I call him Roto.
The bouncer from Roadhouse?
Yes, yeah. I call him Roto. Not Swayze, but the other guy.
Yeah.
I call him Roto. And he... you know, he says, okay, so you ready for this? And I say, okay, yeah. I just asked one more time. I go, now, did you write this? This is a joke that you wrote. And he said, yeah, yes. And then I'd like, this is not safe for work. I mean, unless, if you're listening to it in headphones, then it's safe for work.
Yeah.
If you're playing the podcast out loud on speaker,
right.
That's weird. Don't do that. Please stop doing that.
Yeah.
So then, you know, he leans in, he goes, so I'm fucking this girl. In the ass, right?
Which is great setup for most, you know.
That to me screams
jokes.
Christian corporate comedy.
Maybe bar mitzvah type material. But
you could do a bat mitzvah with it. So
it's versatile. It's a versatile setup.
So I'm fucking this girl in the ass, right? And then these two young girls in name tags at the Hilton Garden Inn just like come by and are like, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. You know,
wait a
second.
Is this in the joke or the two?
While he's telling it, these
he
two
hits the setup, then two girls come
two
by.
Two girls in.
And they're like, yeah, they have to hear this punchline.
Yeah, we're at the Radisson, so okay. There's a lot of people that are coming in and out of the place. You know, it's just like any other Hilton. People have name tags on there walking around. So he stops. He kind of waits till they leave.
Wait, so it's the Hilton Radisson.
It's the Hilton Radisson Inn.
Garden Inn.
No, the rooftop.
The Hilton Radisson rooftop Garden Inn.
It's the Hilton Radisson Red Roof Inn.
Red Roof Best Western Inn?
No, I'm not staying at fucking Best Western. Okay. No part of the hotel I'm in is going to be Best Western. I do like Motel 6, though. I feel like you can masturbate without it.
I stayed at one. I want to get back to your story, but in Scottsdale, the motorcycle convention was in town, so they had to put me up at the Motel 6. And I stayed at one for the first time in a long time. We have a lot to talk about.
Okay. Well, okay. So
it's a great mix between camping and hotel. It's got a nice mix to it. I actually embraced it after a while, and I felt proud of myself.
It's great to have a hot shower and also bugs and animals in the room.
Yeah.
So he waits, then he turns to me and goes, "All right, so I'm fucking this girl on the ass, right?"
Yeah.
And then she turns around in the middle of it. I'm really going at it, you know, and then she turns around in the middle of it, and she goes, "Don't you think it's a little presumptuous that I would want it in my ass?" And I said, "Don't you think presumptuous is a pretty big word for an 8-year-old? I just looked at him. I go, "You wrote that. You tell me that you wrote that." And he's like, "Yep."
And here's the worst part. That was in his eHarmony video. That's what I heard.
he didn't write that, though.
Roadhouse. You don't think so?
That's an old joke. Okay. I've heard that joke from other people. One. Yeah. Well, because it's terrible. Yeah. No one would say it in mixed company, much less to a stranger they just met. And, you know, I did not feel comfortable having him ride up the elevator with me. So I said, "Just meet me in my room and let's get presumptuous."
So he took, did you laugh? What do you do? I kind of, if it's racist, I don't even laugh. I don't fake laugh if it's racist.
Well, Chirbel said to me, yeah. You know, you should have told him that's not funny and you can't say
No, I don't think so.
Like
I think
that.
If it's not racist, I don't think you put the person down. If it's racist, I think, yeah, whatever, man. Or, you know, you don't really say much. Maybe you could even say it's not cool. I've said that on occasion.
Yeah, Chirbel said, you know, you got to really say that's not okay. And I just disagree with it. I think it's easy to make that moral judgment call when you're hearing about the situation.
Yeah.
When you're in it and you're looking at another human being, A, you don't want to be mean to them.
Well, plus we as entertainers, we know we've all told some horrible jokes. And I've been on stage.
Sure,
I'm saying things off the cuff or whatever, but you say things that you just really seriously regret.
All Debbies are pigs. You know, I regret
we've said things on the podcast that if you took them you took them out of context, even in context, we've said some pretty horrible stuff.
It would be pretty fun if somebody has a lot of time on their hands and some editing equipment.
Just
if you edit
together the worst moments, of cashing in. What if it was just a full box set of the 62 episodes?
The worst. It's just some shitty cardboard box. It's got holes in it. There's a mouse in the bottom. He's also the GM at a Motel 6.
A worst of.
But yeah, you got to sort of fake a laugh and kind of go, okay. And then, because you don't, especially when guys are drunk and they'll come up afterwards and tell you some terrible joke, you don't want to make them angry.
Yeah.
They make them, hit you.
I know.
They'll, whisk against your tits.
Oh, I know. I think it's funny when bands that didn't have a lot of hits do a best of album, they have to kind of fill it out. My friend has a theory. You know, we've talked about Steve Mazan. He's just
he's great.
The audacity of a band like, say, Van Halen or whoever, where they add two hits to their canon of songs, and they add two new songs. Like those are going to keep up. Yeah. Like we know what the next two.
Yeah,
hits
it's
will
like
be.
Greatest.
This will be the greatest. Yeah. One of the greatest hits. The audacity. I mean,
I love that. If you haven't seen Steve Mazan, you got to check him out. Yeah. He's a hilarious comedian. I think that's exactly right. I mean, also. Greatest hits? What about just great hits? I want to release something that's just great hits.
Yeah.
Because greatest, what if you come up with better hits?
We should do a worst of. We should do a worst of box set.
I would love that. Yeah. I would love whoever, if somebody wants to help put together the worst of box set, we'll pay you. And I'm talking big money. I'm talking McFlurries.
Oh,
I'm
absolutely.
Talking in the hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, the best, the Motel 6, by the way. The Motel 6 it's kind of cool. I mean, you kind of get back to your primordial roots. It's almost like a caveman type experience, but you do have You do have the towels. You do have the hot shower. And you do have a lot of bikers sitting outside their rooms smoking and not putting any shirts on the entire weekend.
They were really shirtless bikers.
The bikers.
That's a real biker.
The bikers were shirtless all weekend. Mm. Like, just from the moment they got there, it really wasn't about the bikes. They probably should have just taken a taxi over to the Motel 6 and just sat outside and smoked and drank and basically looked at each other's tattoos. It had nothing to do with the biking, from what I saw.
Well, you know, I think the biker culture is more about the culture.
But I made some friends, and I'm a part of a gang.
Did you?
Now. I'm a part of a gang.
What's
now.
The name of the gang?
Yeah, it's called. Let me just try to remember.
I was part of a game called Snipper Whips.
It's called the Moose Knuckles.
The Moose Knuckles.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good because you guys got those leather pants. I was part of one called the Snipper Whips, and it was people that would just – we were young whips that would snip at you. So we drive by in our – it was mostly – it was a dirt bike gang, but we drive by in the dirt bike and just say like, you go, shut up, Darren. You know, just snip at people.
We're going to move along to essential questions of human nature.
Essential questions of human nature. Man, if you didn't think that we should be in an all-men's chorus with just the two of us, I think you do now.
Yeah, we're going to talk about how to get out of birdbath conversations. Yeah. Now, if you don't remember, the birdbath conversations are the boring conversations. Now, here's some clues.
That might as well not even be happening, or usually the subject is about something.
Well, that's the thing. There's some clues where you know what a birdbath conversation is going to start with. Well, for example, allergies, what someone ate for breakfast. Describing an episode of a sitcom can never become interesting, ever. And here's my favorite one. When people say, I had the weirdest dream. I have to say, you have a story that's going to be uninteresting to me. Yeah, I don't care what happened in your dream.
It's never like...
All of our dreams are weird.
Yeah.
We don't need to repeat them.
Yeah. It's never a really weird dream. It's always like, I had the strangest dream. I was in my house, but it was like also the DMV, and then I was standing behind Larry King, and then he turned around, and I was like Ellen DeGeneres, who was right behind him. It's like, yeah, that's kind of weird. No one's ever like, I had the weirdest dream. My lower body was completely made of bananas, and I would ejaculate just peels everywhere. And then I would slip on them, and when I fell down, Andre the Giant picked me up and wore me like a hat. And then we went to a grand gala, and somebody said, nice hat, and I said, thank you very much. It's never like that.
No, it's not. It's not. But you have to have a technique to get to the interesting part. And so what I was thinking, this is more of a practical living in modern age.
Practical living in the modern age.
It's more of a practical living type thing. But what you need to do, I think, is keep asking questions until you get to something interesting. You know, so it's more like choose your own adventure. Keep pounding people with questions until they get to something I might be somewhat curious about. Because I'll tell you what's happened. I think technology has allowed people to not know how boring they are. Because there's no boring button on Facebook. There's no...
Yeah, it's all
feedback. There's no feedback. People are used to... There should be different buttons. There's no social cues. At this point, you know, because I don't care what you ate in the morning. Now there should be other buttons too. I knew someone that passed away recently, and there was a Facebook thing, and some people were putting down like because there was no condolence, but like isn't the right.
Yeah. Somebody says something nice, and you say, "I like that. I like what you're saying about that."
Like isn't really. People were pressing the like button.
I wish Facebook did have a like and dislike button.
There should be a dislike.
Because YouTube does.
There should be a boring button.
Boring button's better than dislike.
Because
on YouTube...
It should be a birdbath conversation button.
Yeah. Yeah, I like boring button or birdbath button.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Birdbath button. Or the other way to get out of a conversation is just to fake a seizure. And I've seen you do that. You're really good at it. Was that a real seizure?
Yeah, I was in the hospital. But yeah, I did get out of a boring conversation. Unfortunately, I was talking when the seizure happened, so I don't know what that says about me. I kind of like that we're singing the... I mean, I know we don't mean to do this to you guys, but this is sort of a DIY episode, you know, a do-yourself-it episode.
It is.
And but I actually enjoy singing it. So we'd love to hear some feedback. And we always appreciate your feedback at Cashing In with TJ. It's Cashing In with TJ, right? Or is it Cashing In WTJ?
I'd just have to check Google my phone.
But yeah. At Cash Levy and at TJ Miller.
Don't tweet that iTunes, because we've dropped out of the mix a little bit. On iTunes, try to let the iTunes people know you enjoy the show.
If you want to review the show, that would really help us.
Just try to say nice things about us. And
don't hit the bird bath button. You know,
yeah, don't hit the bird bath on the iTunes. It would help if you let your friends know about us. Also, the 12 and a half shirt's coming out. And if you want to see the design, part of the design's on Facebook. TJ and I actually checked it out.
It's amazing.
It was so awesome. Yeah, all the different figures from different shows. And you have to try to figure out what each figure means. What. It's on Facebook. Go to our Facebook
page.
But we
appreciate the 12 and a half. And I think what a great name for the army that will be all of us together.
The mighty army that can almost fill out just a little bit more than a jury.
And we're not, we want you guys to know, we're not cult leaders here. We're really not. We are just judge, jury, and executioner, but you guys are the jury and we're the judge. And the executioner is some guy named Tom that has a real anger issue.
Let's move along to tiny opinions. I think how drunk you are, how drunk someone is directly proportional to how close they will stand to your face. And I've come up with a graph here.
Really?
Just to let you know. If you're twinkered, you are probably about 2 feet from someone's face if you're twinkered. Yeah. If you're spit twinkered, you're about an inch from someone's face. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're in spit twinkerville, you are located inside a person's eyeball. You're actually inside their body practically.
You're maybe in their mouth.
Yeah, pretty much. And if you are in Yonderland, no one's been to Yonderland.
It's never happened.
You can only see the lights of it. You've been to Yonderland. Get out of my fucking face about Yonderland.
Are you?
I'm sick of it.
And I was like, not at all. No one's ever been. No one's been to Yonderland.
And
he goes, I'm actually making lights there for people to see.
Bullshit.
So yeah, but it does seem like people think they're so funny when they're drunk, and they're not. They spit in your face. They're right up in your face.
Yeah, here's maybe a rule, and this is maybe another practical living in the modern age. Just stand further back when you're drunk. Make it a practice.
Yeah, let's do that.
Just practice that
living.
Every single time you're drunk. Try and stand. It's even more fun. It's actually funnier if you're drunk and you stand about 5 feet away from somebody. You go, hey, Jerry, don't tell your wife, but we've been sleeping together for a while. You and me, not her and you.
Was that guy drunk, the guy that told you that horrible joke?
No. I don't want to say like, what an idiot. And I just think it was a weird situation that sort of is my best story of someone saying, hey, buddy, you want to hear my joke?
I'm a comedian. It's an extra good one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
We're going to move it along. We're going to finish up with Maskers today.
I love finishing up with Maskers.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a song for Maskers?
We appreciate all you guys.
All the songs are sounding kind of similar.
Yeah. Let's do a totally different one for Maskers. Ready?
Okay.
Maskers. 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 Ask the Maskers. Ask the Maskers. Maskers.
All right. I like that.
That's good,
right? That got me pumped up.
Yeah.
This first one is from, he always sends us some funny stuff. Murcielago Jones. Murcielago Jones. He's got some good stuff. Isn't it time for Amtrak to make some of their train rides more roller coaster-ish?
I like that.
Wouldn't that really make... Because, they're building a high-speed rail in California, and I'm thinking Fresno or Bakersfield could be a lot more
someplace
fun.
Kind of
there's
boring.
A loop-de-loop right in there.
It would be so fun to kind of be on this thing and have it just go up and down a little bit, add some
just
peaks
enough
and valleys.
To have a few people doing a full body release right over the city.
Loop-to-loop right over Fresno. You land, you release, and you relent. can I read one?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a That is strange. Okay, so somebody wrote, they actually saw honey sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a maskers for you. Look at that. I mean, I really would like you to see that.
Oh, honey sticks. Yeah.
And a girl told me online that her boyfriend is made. Did you see this?
No.
Is making her call it his honey stick.
Nice.
Which I love. You know?
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good catchphrase.
Yeah. And
the honey stick.
Yeah. And you can say, listen, this honey stick's sweet only for you, honey. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So do these folks owe you guys some moolah? No, we have not yet patented the honey stick. And then I wanted to also, and that is by Eric von Riker,
mm-hmm.
which is just couldn't sound more like a Nazi.
Couldn't
name.
Sound more I mean, like just, a, yeah. Like
you have
in the army.
If he isn't a Nazi, if I was Jewish, I'd feel like he was looking at me.
Yeah, I kind of derogatory. I'm only half Jewish, but I got a little nervous when I heard it. Von in a name?
That's
any Von?
That's a guy who's using Jewski more than he mm-hmm, probably should. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's not talking about hand me another juice, which is something you could do with Jewski.
So, you a Jewski? Yeah. If you know, if we're on a boat, I guess that's cool.
You
that's okay.
You want brewskis or Jewskis? We got some apple juices. Grab you a Jewski, or we got some Best in Milwaukee.
I still just love what he was like. I go, no, actually, my mom is not Jewish. She's like, you're a Jewski. Like he knew.
He just couldn't. Knew. He couldn't allow it to not be the case. And then I like this bankrupt Austin, which is a good Twitter handle.
Wait, what did Von Reichler ask?
He just said, did these folks owe you guys some moolah? And we said no, and then that was it. And and then we kind of called him a Nazi.
Oh, yeah,
he's probably
did.
Listening
and I,
right
I feel
now.
Like he's probably out there feeling kind of bad, and we didn't mean it.
Either that or he's goose-stepping his way to another Jewski, anti-Jewski
rally. We accused you of being a Nazi, but we didn't accuse you of telling a joke about an 8-year-old.
Yeah, you didn't at least do that. But this guy, I mean, I'm looking at his picture, Eric von Reichers, and, you know, he looks... That doesn't look like a Nazi. That looks he's
not
in the mountains.
Not at all. He's a mountain person.
He's got a goatee and a Green Bay hat, and he looks like the type of guy who's just too high to be able to get down the mountain. And if that's the case, I encourage you, sleep your way down.
Yes. Well, you can sleep your way to the bottom. You never answered my question. Snaggletooth, front butt, camel toe, or moose knuckle, and I'm getting it. I
like front butt. I mean, I'd rather be with somebody with front butt.
I think snaggletooth is almost attractive. I like snaggletooth.
Really? You like one tooth?
Yeah, I've got a snaggletooth fetish.
Wow.
Yeah, I do. I like girls with a snaggletooth.
I mean, I'm okay with it. I've got a snaggletooth down below. It's you know, it's not in the
I just
top
make
of my
sure
teeth. It's not in the bottom row of my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
It's near my sternum. I've got a tooth that grew out of there.
I dated a girl with a snaggle tooth inside her belly button.
Really?
Yeah.
I dated a girl with a sniggle tooth, and it was about to come out, so you could wiggle it. Bankrupt Austin says, and I like this. This is for you, Cash.
Okay.
Which came first, Eggs Benedict or Chicken Benedict Arnold?
Eggs Benedict or Chicken Benedict Arnold.
So it's sort of a turn on the egg, which came first,
kind of
the chicken or the egg.
Play type thing.
I think Eggs Benedict came because you can't have a Chicken Benedict Arnold without an Eggs Benedict.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have an Eggs Benedict without a Chicken Benedict Arnold. I had one the other day, and he was nowhere to be around. So that's it, Austin. And sometimes you wonder to yourself, why am I bankrupt? And, well, probably because you're asking fucking questions like that, Austin.
This is perfect for today's show. Lisa Peterson, at Peterson Lisa, asks, sometimes I vomit purposefully after someone farts. How far is too far for the sake of a good laugh? Do you think that's too far?
To
vomiting after someone farts,
I mean,
as a joke?
If she
I like
can,
it.
I love
I
it.
I like it.
If she
I think
can
it's
really
commitment.
Do it.
It's really committing.
If she can really do it. I mean, better than that. The only thing better than that is a full body release. You know, somebody
after
really
someone
riffs.
Farts.
Someone passes gas and you just go, bleh!
Yeah,
all
release.
At once.
Yeah.
But I think vomiting for fun is really great. I once
vomiting is the punchline to a joke. Some people, I did know a comic that would try to close with that every night, and it was
really
no. I'm.
Did you see how much
difficult.
I bought that?
Yeah,
I bought that
difficult.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, that's so, his gimmick. He vomits at the end of every show. That'd be so funny.
He's bulimic, but he's found a way to hide it.
What I should have said is, I believe Trisket Hurlibutton used to close every show by vomiting on a crowd member.
Yeah, I mean, that was more he would just get so nervous at the idea of having to leave. Yeah, I mean, I think if you can vomit, I was in college, and I went to visit my good friend Daniel Burson, who is a hilarious improviser and comedian, and he and I went to Popeye's, and I said, "Why don't we eat chicken until we get sick?" And you know, because I love Popeye's fried chicken, or used to. I don't love it as much anymore. And I ate the living daylights out of Popeye's fried chicken. I mean, we must have eaten maybe 10 or 15 pieces a piece. I'd say, yeah, I had 12 for sure.
Sure.
And then we went outside, and he's like, "You know, it's weird because I feel like I could, you know, I'm so stuffed." But we always say eat yourself sick, and it's more you feel sick, you mm-hmm. know, more than actually yeah. being sick. And I said, "You better believe it." I made myself vomit because I kind of felt like vomiting
anyway,
in the Popeyes.
So you did it.
And so I made my, I said, "Oh, yeah." And then just puked in the trash can. And he goes, "Are you all right?" And I looked up at him. I stopped myself in the middle of my vomiting. I looked up at him. I go, "Hell yeah, I just had Popeyes." I went back to vomiting. It was pretty great.
You know what, Lisa? I'd like to party with you.
I mean, I would too.
I'd like to party with you. I think to go out on the town with someone that's willing to make that kind of commitment. Now, I would hope you were just in, say, Twinkerville when we party together. Because if your space was too close to mine, and if you look at the graph.
Yeah, get away.
You know,
you're puking on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let me say this one. Leopoldo at Cinco de Marcho.
Yeah.
Writes, "Would you rather get beat up by a guy with an erection?"
Oh, we did this.
Oh, one. Did we? We did do yeah. this one. So let me skip up here. This is Clay Lloyd.
This would be so funny if this was like a political show and yeah. we're reading it twice. Yeah. And it's that sophomoric also.
What do
now? Jim Swartz asks, "If you get beat up with an erection, you know." Ted Koppel's like, "We already actually covered that joke."
He's like, that topic. "Oh shit, Ted." Clay Lloyd writes, "What do you get your girlfriend for her birthday when she says, 'Don't get me anything'? It feels like a trap." Mm. And it is a trap. Would you agree?
Yeah, it is.
They really do. Everybody wants a gift. Everybody yeah. wants a gift. They yeah. want it. I actually just had Cherbel said to me, there's a 6-month kibosh on getting me any sort of gifts. And I just bought her, I bought her 3 gifts today.
Really?
Yeah, because I think that's a lie.
They want the gifts. This is where we've talked about this. Pre-gifts are really important.
Yeah.
You have some stocked away.
You got to have gifts to be able to give out. Yeah. And
I have an extra closet with just a lot of different dresses.
Here's a great trick.
Of every size, just in case I meet a girl that needs a dress.
Summer frocks.
Yeah.
Maybe this is practical.
I have a store
in the modern
age. Out behind my place.
It's a barn.
It's a dress barn. Go out there, grab the gift that's necessary.
Cash is the type of guy who's like, "Come into my store," and you're just in there with a fucking horse and a barn baling hay. Here's a practical living. Give 2 gifts always. The first gift should be good, but not great. Mm. And the second gift should be the one that you wanted to buy in the first place.
Interesting.
That way it always makes the second gift look great.
Yeah, but
why not
the first one's just a real big disappointment?
Go for disappointment.
Yeah, I think you go almost for a gag gift. The first gift is so bad.
I gave a girl
the head of a pig. You know, something like really
I gave a girl
bad.
A strainer full of gravel.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
then right afterwards, I gave her another strainer.
Yeah, well, that was actually me. And I was a little pissed off.
Well, you were wearing one of the dresses from your barn and a wig.
But actually, I have it tabulated here in your taxes. You actually gave no money to gifts last year. So that's good. You're on track there. You just had to, you know, the tether. The tether was
that's
more expensive
that's
than
what
you
got me. The tether
the space
got
jack
me.
Really did you in.
You know, a space jack can be a challenger-like experience. Can be a real challenger.
Yeah, and that's actually in a little placard inside the
Nassau headquarters.
The Nassau headquarters, yeah. Mm-hmm. TJ, I got to get back to your taxes. So,
and I got to get out of here.
Yeah, please
it was
get out
so
of
fun.
Your own house and so that I can finish
I am
gonna the
leave.
Job here.
And it is weird that you told me I can't be in the house while
yeah,
you
please,
do my taxes.
Get out of here. I also, I'm kind of marking my territory.
What is that you're doing the taxes on?
Oh, it's an abacus. Yeah, I don't have a calculator. I use an abacus, and my abacus is pretty tired from this whole experience.
You know, there's a calculator on your phone, right?
Yeah, no, I don't know how to work that. I don't know how to work that button. You know that I don't know how to get to that. I'm not. You know, I'm not technologically that sound, folks. I got a rotary dial. Huh? Hey, no one's heard that one before. And there's an 8-year old that doesn't know how to use it.
It's on his cell phone.
Combine the two jokes.
You super glued a rotary to the front of your phone.
I super glued a rotary dial to my cell phone. Thanks for coming and visiting me while I do my your taxes.
Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.